You are listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, JP. Thank you for tuning in for the hour. I have a lot packed for today's show. We have two interviews, one with the singer and the guitarist of Forum Diplomat, Elie and Charles. I sat down with them recently to talk about their new music and what their touring has been like thus far. Later on, I have a pre-recorded phone interview with Nadia from the cast of Montreal's Rocky Horror Picture Show. To start off the hour, I have two songs by legends of Canadian music. The first is Cayouche, a beloved singer-songwriter from New Brunswick who sings country with humor and introspection. The second artist is Buffy Sainte-Marie with the song Universal Soldier, which she wrote to denounce war and show that war is the same everywhere and it will never bring peace to humanity. So let's start off the hour with L'Alcool au Volant by Cayouche. Hidden Gems, CJLO.
La poche de gel. Si tu bois en drivant, t'es tout le temps arrêté à toutes les 5000 pour pisser. Même si t'as gradué, même si que t'es âgé, tu vas te faire pogner au par la GRC. Avec l'air ben cocoon, mais que tu sautes d'un ballon, ben c'est ben mieux que de se faire tuer. L'alcool au volant, c'est criminel. La bière vient chaude, puis la poche te gèle. Si tu bois en drivant, t'es tout le temps. Les 5000 pour
he always will kill. you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan. And he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CGL 1690 AM. Thank you for being with me. Before, we were listening to L'Alcool au Venin by Caillouche, an artist from New Brunswick. And you were listening just now to Universal Soldier by Buffy Sainte-Marie, who is a prominent name in the Indigenous music scene, but overall the Canadian music scene in Canada. Up next, we have a song by Lisa Demna called Ligne d'Hydro off of her first album. Hidden Gems, CJLO.
Un moment donné, je décide d'enfouir mes robes de gypsy. Au fond de mon garde-robe, de mes vieilles valises, sortir ce que j'ai vécu pour les exposer sur mes murs, que je pourrais appeler les miens. Je pourrais arrêter d'angoisser, voir si c'est moi ou le char qui laissera aller en premier. Un moment donné, je boycotterai le vieux café dépanneur, puis jugerai à mon tour ceux qui s'achètent du vin d'épicerie. Plus les cabines de téléphone sur le bord de la rue. Non, j'aurai d'autres villes avec la réalité que les grandes lignes d'hydro qui me suivent partout. Je marquerai plus les cabines de téléphone sur le bord de la rue. Non, j'aurai d'autres villes avec la réalité que les grandes. Thank you. et les grandes lignes d'hydro qui me suivent partout. Je remarquerai plus les cabines de téléphone sur le bord de la rue quand j'aurai d'autres fils avec la réalité que les grandes lignes d'hydro qui me suivent partout.
Hidden Gems, CJLO. You are listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, JP. Welcome or welcome back. Before the break, I played Ligne d'Hydro by Lisa Debna off her self-titled debut album, Lisa Debna. Forden Diplomats is a carefree and energetic band in the realm of indie alternative rock music. But the music is also rock music you can dance to. I quote from the band itself. We make music, we want to dance, we want you to join the party, crack, boom, pow. They are originally from Northern Quebec, but are now based in Montreal. They have two dates in the province coming up. They will be at La Petite Boîte Noire in Sherbrooke on Friday, November 8th. And they will be at L'Antibar et Spectacle in Quebec City on Saturday, November 9th. Recently, I got the chance to sit down with Charles Primo, guitarist, and Eddie Raymond, guitarist and vocalist, and this is what they had to say. I am here with Elie Raymond and Charles Primo of Foreign Diplomats. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
It's pretty good. So apparently you guys came up with your band name in an airport. What made you guys think, yes, that's the band name?
I think it's just the first, when we started the band and we just started throwing ideas. Well, actually, we didn't really throw any ideas because I think that's the first idea that we had or the first thing that came up at the airport, and we just said, all right, yeah, let's use that. It wasn't like a deeper meaning thing that happened, or it's just, all right, let's take that.
It was like your eureka moment.
Yeah, you could say that.
You guys formed your band in high school, at first competing against another band. Do I have that right?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't a contest or anything. It was just like this older band playing that everyone liked, and I was like, oh, I can do better. So I started writing and just formed a band, but we actually formed like at the end of high school, so we didn't really play with those guys. I just said that once because I thought it was funny, because the just wanting to start a band because you want to be cooler than the cool band in school is not a good reason to start a band, and I don't think it was really that, but that was kind of, it was something. I wanted to be cool and popular. Didn't work. But,
yeah, were you guys always playing together throughout high school, or it started more near the end of high school?
It started near the end, actually. I started the band with two guys that aren't there anymore, and they're alive, they're just not in the band anymore. And we started playing together like in 2 years before finishing school. And then Tony, who's still in the band, the bass player, I taught him how to play bass, like really when we, at the end of our last year at high school. So yeah, I couldn't say we were a high school band. We just formed in there, but at the end. So yeah, you could say that we formed really after, like, we became what we are now after high school.
What was the deciding moment where you looked at what you were doing as a band and thought, okay, we can push this further and like go perform in other countries?
I don't think there was a moment. Well, you were there when we started performing.
I wasn't there. I've been in the band for like 4 years now, but yeah, I think it's when you got discovered by Franz from Indica Records. So maybe then you just started to feel like, oh shit, there's something.
Yeah, but we were there when we started performing in other countries.
Yeah.
We didn't do it before you. So maybe it was you, man. Maybe you're the turning point.
It's on me, man.
yeah, it's all you.
How does that feel to be
the you know, I'm used to feeling that way, but yeah. but I really think it's the first record is what we put out. And then we got discovered by international people, like in France. We started in France and then Germany. I think it's really the first record that got us out there.
And the show. I think the people that got us there are people who came at M for Montreal or other showcases here and that liked us and that wanted us there after seeing the live show.
Yeah, so that's right. It's always after seeing the live show because a lot of people, we're a live band.
Yeah.
And you're right.
I think so.
So basically, people in other countries were visiting Montreal. They saw you guys perform and they said, hey, cool, let's bring them over.
Yeah, people in the industry that maybe our manager invited or people coming to showcases to discover new bands in Montreal. I think it's from that.
Okay.
Mainly.
You have collaborated with big names like producer Brian Zek and Jay Slasek. Tell me what it was like to collaborate with them.
It was pretty, really, really cool. Brian Deck was just awesome because it was really different than Jace. We did the second album with Jace, and Brian, when we did the first one, it was really because we were still kids, just trying to still have fun, and he wanted to have fun, but I think he just came and put some order in what we had, which was really good. And then when we worked with Jace, we were a completely different band because we had toured for a couple of years and we were older and we kind of knew what we wanted. We knew more what we wanted than when we started doing the first one. So he just became our friend and we just started to have lots of fun in the studio with him. It was less of a mentor and kids relationship, more of a just people having fun in a studio.
I was looking at your comment section on YouTube, and you have comments from a lot of other places in the world, like Mexico and Germany, and your debut album got licensed deals in Germany and France. So how does it feel to start off in the Laurentians in Quebec and then reach an international audience?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, we're still five kids from the north, and we're just, I think it's still unbelievable. Like, we're just back from Germany. We came back at the beginning of the month, and we had really cool shows there. People actually show up. And I mean, for us, it's kind of unbelievable because you just get there, you're so far from home or you don't speak the language there, and you just have people that come in and they like and they sing the songs. It's just, oh wow, or the songs have traveled and they have reached other people. Mm-hmm. And it's still unbelievable. And I hope it will stay unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to start to be kind of this...
To get used to it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I'd like to get... It's not... I'd like to get used to it. I just don't want to become this kind of asshole. Just, I don't care. It's just you have to care. Still, still great.
Your latest album is called Mon Ami. Mm-hmm. Some of your favorites are... My favorites are Fridou, Adopted Hometown, and Fearful Flower. I'd like to know, what was your creative direction for this album?
Well, we really started off by not wanting to do the same thing, the same concept that we had for the first one. Because the first one was really, we wanted to get in the studio and just make a studio record and have it sound really different than when we do live. So that when people see us live, it's just, oh, wow, it's so different. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to have more of a live sound. It's just, you feel that it's friends, and like we had a lot of people come in the studio more than just the five of us, just to try stuff and maybe just comment and just, oh, that's bad, that's good. Just have other people in. And I think the concept was to have really a lot of friends in and have it sound as much, well, not live sounding. We didn't want it to sound like just the five of us playing, but just to have that vibe of us having fun. I mean, the songs themselves were really in a lighter mood, I could say, because the first one was really a breakup, bitter, dark album, and this one is really, it's different in that way. Mm-hmm. It's really far away, actually. Yeah. I think, yeah.
And for you?
Well, yeah, as you said, well, the name Mon Ami means my friend. We just put it in one word, and we just wanted it to be like collaborative, have a lot of people over, and less of a clash between the studio sound and the live sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people collaborated on the album? Like, how many friends were included?
I couldn't say exactly. I mean, we just had friends coming over and sing one part, and then we had someone do like all. Elliot Magno is actually singing kind of all the back vocals on that record, and we had people from Chaux Sauvage come do a couple of drums and saxophone and guitar.
I think no guitars.
No, I mean, we just had a lot of people just. Yeah. Hey, do you want to come and sing? Hey, do you want to just come and sit and just listen and. Come yeah. eat with us and we'll just chill.
When you look at the credit section of the record, that's when you see there's a lot of people involved. And when we did like a gang vocals, maybe like 10 people were singing, but they're all on the credits. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people.
Your lyrics are both in English and in French. Do you have a preference or it's a natural mix of both languages when you write?
Well, actually, there's not a lot of French. It's just there's just like this one part in this song. In the song Fearful Flower. I think I don't have a preference. I sing in English and I write in English, but I speak French. But I like both of them. I think French is, for me, it's more intimidating because it's my mother language. So, I mean, it's so close to me. So when I sing or when I write, I can just write in English, which is like a persona or it's something else. But I don't think it's not important for me. Music is music. It can be in any language and it's still going to be... If there's a message in the music, it will pass through in any language, I think. But I wanted, like for Fearful Flower, I wanted to sing in... I kind of wanted to have this French part because it's... kind of about home and it's about being comfortable at home and being open to everyone else and just so I kind of wanted to have that thing and we actually translated the whole song in French, in German and in Spanish. Yep. And we just tried to try stuff.
Do you speak all of those languages?
I speak Spanish. I don't speak German, but I had we were in Berlin and we met this great singer. She was awesome and she helped me she did like the first verse and she sung the first verse and then she helped me for my pronunciation and just to get it right. But yeah, we'll probably release those versions. I don't know when. Soon-ish. Sometime.
Soonish.
Yeah. I'm just working on that. When people come to your show, what do you want them to get out of the experience?
Well, I think we really want people to forget everything that's going on, if it's good, if it's bad, just to let everything go, just dance, and then when you go out of the venue, just like, fuck, this was great, man. I want to see these guys again. It's just a party when you just want people to let everything go and forget about everything. Yeah. Sometimes in songs, you just have Ellie's screaming, forget all the shit that's going on. And I think it's just great. And that's really what we want people to experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think music is for that. Well, yeah. No, that's not true. I don't think it's for that. But we don't have like a message or anything. Like maybe we'll have one day when we get wiser or something. But for now, we don't have a message. So the only thing that we're for is to make people happy and make them forget. Like you said, make them forget the problems or, I don't know, the cat ate the homework or something. And just to forget that, you just want to go have fun one night and just release all the, the tension.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, I think. Is it important?
Yep. No comment.
So what's next for you guys for Foreign Diplomats?
What's next? We're just
rock and roll and beers.
Yeah, you could say that. We just we'll probably tour a lot more for that record. I just want to play with those guys. I just want to play those songs, and then we'll start writing again. And just we kind of started writing stuff and just trying to find new ways to get a sound. Yeah. And just try new stuff, but mostly for now I just want to play. Mm-hmm. And maybe just tour and see some places, because the dream is to travel with the music, and we kind of had that dream, and now I want more.
yeah
and then I think so. I want to go to Japan.
Yeah, let's go to Japan.
Yeah, man. I want to go to, I don't know, somewhere sick. I want to go to Calgary.
Yeah, why not?
Japan. Yep. And Calgary.
Why those places?
I don't know. I just like Japan a lot. I think it would be awesome. I just want to go there and Calgary, because I'd like really much, actually just Canada. I'm from Canada. I'd like to make shows in Canada. We did shows in Quebec and Ontario. I'd like to, you know,
yeah,
go somewhere else in Canada.
Yeah, places like Whitehorse or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. I said Calgary, but I mean the whole place. Yeah. But Japan is just like the dream. Maybe Australia. Australia.
Don't get
me started on that. I'll just go on.
It's a great opportunity to travel. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you.
Get you cold enough to-
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, JP. Thank you for being with me today. That was Road Rage by Foreign Diplomats. Before the song was the interview I conducted with the band, members of Foreign Diplomats. Last week, I sat down with Phil Spurl from Montreal's Rocky Horror Picture Show. And this week, I got a second interview with cast member Nadia Argueta, who is shadowing the character Rocky this year. Tickets for the show are still available at the door on the night of the show, which is tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. It will take place at Cinéma Impérial, and they ask people to bring their equipment. And here's a hint. Toast your bread. If you need the guidelines to get ready, all of the info is available online at RockyHorrorMontreal.com. The cast of Rocky has been rehearsing for over a month now, and Nadia spoke with me to reveal the secrets behind the production of the show.
It was 10 years ago. No, that's not true. I was in high school, and I came across the movie from a friend that I had in high school, and she was just talking about it casually. And for some reason, there was something about the title, something about the cover of the movie that really stuck with me. So I brought it home and I started watching it with my younger brother. He's 3 years younger than me. And we fell in love. And I can't really tell you at that age, when I was maybe 14 years old, what it was about that movie that I fell in love with. It just felt like there was so much going on that I identified with but didn't realize at the time. So my younger brother and I just watched it on repeat year after year. And I told myself when I found out that there was a representation of it in Montreal, and you had to be 18 to attend, I told myself that as soon as I hit 18, I had to absolutely go to the show. So at 18, I went as an audience member. And right then and there, I thought, there's somehow I have to get into this production. And then I did.
And then you did. And you've been at it now for 8 years. Is that correct?
Yeah. 8 years, yeah.
So how has your experience with Rocky been for the last 8 years?
It's been amazing. It's been filled with a lot of changes from when I first started to now. But we've always kept the core of the production, right, which is freedom, fun, self-expression. So, yeah, I guess overall my experience has just been growth. I've grown so much throughout the last 8 years, especially around this time as we prepare for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We put in so much of our time and energy and effort into something that I think I could speak for the whole cast who's there. We love it so much, and it's in such a concentrated time of year, right? We're doing this for about a month and a half leading up to showtime. There's a few things throughout the year, but mostly our rehearsals happen from, let's say, beginning to middle of September all the way up until showtime, which is October 31st, right? Mm-hmm. So just a lot of dedication, a lot of commitment, and a lot of self-expression, I would say.
So this year, you're shadowing for Rocky. And before that, you played Brad, the criminologist. How does the cast choose which roles each of you play each year?
So every year, we always ask who's coming back, right? So then we ask who's interested in what role. So typically, we share the roles, and we have a policy where we share. It's one person plays a character per night, just to avoid confusion and a little bit of chaos, right? So it really depends on who's interested. And I think that the cast is pretty good at communicating so that we don't have to do, like, an audition process or anything like that. And we also work on a trust basis in the sense that, like, we trust. We don't really go through auditions, but we trust that the people who are interested in the character are going to dedicate the time to practice that character and be the best that they can be at it. So, for example, this year as Rocky, I am sharing the role with two other cast members. So I'll be on stage Saturday night for both shows, whereas my two other cast members will have their own shows Thursday and Friday. And if there's only two people or one person, let's say, that's interested in one role, then we divide it accordingly, right? So it's equal. If it's two people for a role, then it's a night and a half. And if it's one person, I was playing a criminologist alone for quite some time, so I was responsible for all shows. And now we have two other criminologists who have stepped forward, which is really great, and they're sharing that.
Mm-hmm. And you said that the rehearsal process is about a month and a half. Can you describe to me the rehearsal process?
We usually have our Rocky rehearsals on Sundays, and it's usually from like 7:30 until 10:30. So it's a good like 3 hours concentrated on the movie once a week. And then those who are interested in doing extra activities, such as previously the Thriller number, it's no longer a Thriller, we're doing something different. But we would organize a rehearsal specifically for the mashup. We would rehearse specifically within our characters, right? So everybody's in charge of reaching out to whoever they need to practice with, whichever cast member they are sharing the stage on what night. And then what we do on Sundays is we all get together, we run different scenes in the movie, and all characters, so all cast members playing whatever cast character is on stage. So the stage gets really busy because you'll have three Rockies and three Brads and three Janets and one Frank, and so it gets pretty busy. But we do the best that we can with so little time that we have.
I recently spoke with Phil about this year's choice to focus on gender neutrality. What are your thoughts on this decision?
I think it's great. I think it's a step in the right direction. I really appreciate that one of the things that we decided to do is we decided to create ourselves gender-neutral bathrooms. And so it's just all of it is with the intention of creating a safer space for all people, no matter what they identify as. So a lot of spaces have already done that, and it just seems appropriate that we would follow as well, especially because we do attract a very diverse crowd, and essentially the Rocky Horror Picture Show, historically, when in the 70s, it was a platform for celebrating sexual diversity, gender identities, anything that is non-monogamous. So, you know, and we want to keep celebrating those themes with the current time.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing me in tight. And it's the velvet crust. It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. Free me so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
to the left.
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, JP. Welcome and welcome back. If you missed the last portion of the episode, that's okay. You can head on to CJLO.com and go find Hidden Gems, and you'll find right there my episodes. I have 3 episodes posted so far, and I hope to have the new ones right up there in the near future. Up next is a song by one of my favorite artists, Bonobo, with the song Silver. You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO.
Feel it. Just feel it.
That was Silver by Bonobo, and you are listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO. Thank you for being with me for the hour. That was the last song, although I'm going to play one last song again. But that was pretty much the show for today. Thank you so much for being with me. If you have any suggestions for Hidden Gems or Hidden Jams, you can head on to CJLO.com and find the show Hidden Gems. And you can send me your suggestions, and I will gladly play them. You can tune in next week on Thursday at 3 p.m. and I will be right here. Tourlou!
I can't do without you.
all that I can still do. And you know you're the one I dream about. I couldn't do it.